nothing exists, if you really think about it, you find that you are actually saying nothing. If I said nothing exists, it means that you are conceiving nothing. And conceiving nothing is impossible. All conception is conception about existence. Therefore, the one thing that you can conceive is existence. This is the new formulation of the ontological argument. Only one sentence, which may not even seem like an argument, because in argument there are steps. First step, second step, third step. Like in the case of Anselm's argument, there was first a definition of God, and then second was the argument, and then the conclusion. But in this statement which I am proposing, there are no steps. It only says only this thing: existence without quantity, without quality, relation, modality is not only what can be conceived, but is the only thing that can be conceived. Full stop. This is the only argument. Now, if you feel that this argument does not click in your mind, it means I would ask you to think again on this. Because there is a subtlety in the argument. And it is only when you think again and again and again that you will see that this is a perception of the reason. You remember once I started by saying, what is reason? And in that process of reasoning, of showing what is reason, I told you the reason is nothing but a capacity to conceptualize. This is the definition I have given you. Reason is nothing but a capacity to conceptualize. Where there is no conceptualization, there is no reasoning. It may be only a sense experience or intuitive experience, but no conceptualization. Reasoning is the middle point between sense experience and intuitive experience. In between is the field of the reason, which is the field of conception. If you can touch and see a thing, you don't need to conceive. So reason is a middle zone of our consciousness. On the lower zone is a sense experience. The higher zone is a zone of intuitive experience. The intuitive experience is also called in the Indian philosophy aparoksha anubhuti. Aparoksha anubhuti. Pratyaksha is that which you see directly by your eyes. Prati aksha, aksha means eyes. That which is before your eyes is pratyaksha. Paroksha is that which is not before your eyes, but which you can conceive. Therefore, conceptual knowledge is called paroksha jnana. Pratyaksha is that which is experienced by senses. That which is conceived is paroksha. That is the proper action of reason. When you can reasonably, by reason you can see something, you do not see with your eyes, but you can see yet by your reason. When you see only the smoke on the hill, and you can conceive that there is fire, you are perceiving it with the eyes, but perceiving through the with conception, conceptually. You are not seeing directly fire, but you are quite sure. Yatra yatra dhumaha tatra tatra vahanihi. Wherever there is smoke, there is fire. Therefore, although you are not seeing the fire, your reasoning tells you that there must be fire. There is no question of there may be or there may not be. When reason perceives, it perceives definitely, with certainty.
But the science is within this purview of reasoning?
Yes, that is to say, science has two levels, the pratyaksha and paroksha. But the element of pratyaksha is very predominant in science. In philosophy, the role of reason is more predominant.
Now the metaphysics is in this region.
Metaphysics is philosophy.
Philosophy, that's the paroksha.
Yes, that is, no. In metaphysics, you have paroksha jnana. Pratyaksha is the starting point of metaphysics. But you arrive at paroksha jnana. But paroksha jnana, which is certain, there is a reason in us which can see directly, that is the meaning of proof. Proof is a rational proposition, which cannot be doubted. That is called a proof. So the speciality of geometry, for example, of metaphysics, lies in the fact that it takes you to the realm of pure reason and shows you what the reason can perceive. In other words, what reason can conceive, because the perception of reason is only through conceptions. But what it perceives definitely. So when you are enabled to perceive through conception, which you cannot doubt, it is called real paroksha jnana. It is jnana, it is not a doubt, it is not a state of doubt. It is jnana. You may not see the fire physically, but you are sure there must be fire. That is your rational proposition, rational perception. Your reason perceives the fire through conception. Does not see with eyes, but with your conception, you are absolutely sure there must be fire. But there is a higher level where you go beyond conception and beyond the sense perception. And you can still perceive it is neither pratyaksha nor paroksha, but it is aparoksha. It is not paroksha. And therefore it is called aparoksha anubhuti jnana. It is a higher intuitive experience. When the mind is silenced, the mind is a stage where there is a distinction between the knower and the known. This is a speciality of all mental knowledge. You are the subject, and all that is known is an object. Wherever mind operates, this distinction is paramount. There is always a distinction between me, the knower, and the object, the known. But if the mind is silenced, then something else happens. The subject and the object become identical. In that identity, you have the experience, because basically all experience is nothing but an experience of identity. Even sense experience is to some extent some kind of identity. All experience of all kinds have behind somewhere this identity. But when it is nothing but identity, in sense experience that is more than identity experience, also separative experience. Therefore, it is not a pure identity. When I see the statue, I don't become the statue myself. But there is a stage of consciousness where the mind is still. Then there is a pure experience of identity. And in that stage there is no doubt at all, because the object is yourself. Therefore it cannot be doubted. When I eat the sweet, I cannot doubt its sweetness, because it is a very much an experience by identity of some kind, if not entire identity, but it is a great deal of identity between the sweet that is being eaten and myself. Therefore I cannot doubt it.